This week we will be doing Maseches Yevamos, Daf Gimel. We left off about 20 lines from the top, starting from the words Umay Arya. So the Mishnah had said that there are 15 women, 15 arayos, that are not allowed to do Yibum if they fall to a man after his brother has died without children. And it said these 15 women are putter from doing Yibum. So the Gemara asks, Umay Arya detane potros. Why did the Mishnah use the language of putter? Listening asu osros. It just say these women are usser. And Rashi explains, if you say putter, that implies that, well, they don't have to do Yibum, but they could if they wanted to. Whereas we know that's not the case. If one of the arayos falls to a man, well, if there's no chiyuv of Yibum, then it's usser to have that relationship. So the Mishnah should have said osros to emphasize the fact that once there's no mitzvah of Yibum, that relationship remains usser. It's not even an option. So the Gemara says, no, itana osros, if it would have taught osros, hava amina osr liyabim. I would have thought, oh, it's only usser for them to do Yibum, which involves actually having relations, having bia. Aval michlatz chaltza, but maybe these 15 women, although they don't perform Yibum, maybe they do chalitza. They spit in the shoe. Kamash malan, so when the Mishnah says potros, potros means they're putter from everything. There's no mitzvah of Yibum, and there's no mitzvah of chalitza. Says the Gemara, well, if you wanted to teach that, for listening asura lachlos, just teach it's usher for these women to do chalitza. Well, obviously it's usher for them to do Yibum, and it's also usher for them to do chalitza. So that would have also explained what we need to explain without saying the word potro. So why didn't the Mishnah say these 15 women, asura lachlots, are not allowed to do chalitza? Says the Gemara, my kovid. Because how does the word usher relate to chalitza? Let's say there's no chiv of chalitza. If she spits in his shoe, what's the worst thing she did? There's some spit in his shoe. Whereas if one's having relations with a man that she's not allowed to have relations with, that could be a big isser. But when it comes to chalitza, what isser is this woman doing, even if she's not commanded? If she spits in his shoe, so there's some spit in his shoe, but there's no isser actually being violated. So the Gemara says, alam alo. Really? Why is there no isser violated? Imata omer chulatzes misyavemes. There may not be any isser inherently in her performing chalitza even without a requirement. But the problem is, an isser could result from it. Because if you tell a person, if you tell a woman that she's usher to do chalitza, or you tell her she's mutter to do chalitza, she might come to do Yibum. And Yibum is the real isser. Rasalovichik in the Rishimos over here, he explains the havami of the Gemara, when the Gemara says alam alo, meaning, why isn't the word usser associated with chalitza? Implying that the Gemara thinks that there really is a possibility that chalitza could be usser. So the Rav explains that the reason why it's not usser for the woman to do it is because it's a maisa kof. It's like a monkey act. It doesn't have any halachic significance in terms of the spitting of the shoe. But then the Gemara says alam alo, meaning it's true. It might only be spit for the yavam, for the yavama to be involved in it. But perhaps, says the Rav, it could be an isser on Beis Din. As Beis Din is in charge of administering chalitza. And so it could be an isser derabanan for them to allow a chalitza to take place where it's not warranted. So we're still at our kasha. Our question is, why did the Mishnah say putter? It should have said asura lachlots. Says the Gemara, kivan dimamako mitzvah hu da'asiri tzara. Vishalob mako mitzvah sharia vishim hachi tani potros. So we know in the Mishnah there's a concept of a tzara, a co-wife. And now in the cases of the Mishnah, where there was one of the arayos fell to Yibum, to a man, and now that was usser, so we say the co-wife is also usser. That's what we call bimako mitzvah. In a situation of Yibum, where co-wives who are married to Reuven, and Reuven dies, now fall to Shimon. We know, the Mishnah is teaching us, that tzara, that co-wife, is also usher to do Yibum and Chalitza with Shimon. But what about v'shelo b'mako mitzvah? What about a tzara, a co-wife, not in the context of a mitzvah? What does that mean? So very simple example. A father has a daughter, a son, a daughter. She gets married. And now that her son-in-law marries another girl. So now he has his daughter, his son, he has his daughter, his son-in-law, and now he has a second wife. So what happens if his daughter and the co-wife, let's say they get divorced from this son-in-law. Can the father of this girl ever marry this girl's co-wife? Let's say his daughter's co-wife? The answer is yes. There's no reason why this father can't marry the girl who was once co-wives with his daughter. That's called Shlob Makom Mitzvah. There's no concept of Yibam there. But if we would have taught Usser, you would have thought a tzara, a co-wife of an arayos, is always Usser. Whether it's Shalob Makom Mitzvah, whether it's Makom Mitzvah, Mishum Hachi says the Gemara, that's why the Mishnah taught Tani Potros, Potter implies B'Makom Mitzvah. Only in the context of Yibam will a co-wife not be able to marry, to do Yibam, to be with the man that is the arayos of her co-wife. But in a regular case where a father has a daughter, Rachel, and Rachel marries Reuven, and Reuven marries another girl, Leah. So Rachel is her father's daughter, and now she has a co-wife, Leah. If they get divorced, Leah can marry Shimon, marry her father, not a problem. And that's why the Mishnah says Pater, to teach me that the only Isra of Tzara is in the context of a mitzvah, in the context of Edom. Gemara continues, asking more questions on the Lashon of the Mishnah. Umay Arya Ditani Min Achalitza Min Hayibum. Why did the Mishnah say these women are Pater from Chalitza and from Yibum? Lisne Min Hayibum L'chudei. Teach me that these women are only Usser from Yibum. Why would that be a good suggestion? Says Rashi, because the Iker Mitzvah in the Torah is Yibum. Chalitza is a second option. That's not really what the Mitzvah is. The Mitzvah is Yibum. So it should have just taught Yibum. Says the Gemara, the problem is, you might have thought that maybe it's only usher for these women to do Yibam with the Arayos, but maybe they could do Chalitza, Kamash Valon. So the Mishnah teaching us, Kola Olel Yibam, Olel Chalitza. The Kol She'ena Olel Yibam, Ena Olel Chalitza. Yibam and Chalitza, they're two options, but they're linked together. Meaning that if a woman can do Yibam, then she can also be Shayach, be in the Parsha of Chalitza, but Kol She'ena Olel Yibam, if she's not Shayach to Yibam, it's usher for her to do Yibam, then it's also going to be usher for her to do Chalitza. So you might ask, then what's the case where Chalitza is ever permitted or obligated? If a person can't do Yibam, and Chalitza is the second option, but if you can't do Yibam, you can't do Chalitza, so when's Chalitza ever happening? So Rashi says, Chalitza is always going to happen in the case of a Suffolk. It's a Suffolk whether this certain relationship can do Yibam or not. That's when we say, do Chalitza. But over here, the reason why our Mishnah said, min achalitza u'min ayibum, is to teach me that when I'm usher to do Yibam, I'm also usher to do Chalitza. Says the Gemara, well then flip the order. Listening min ayibum min amachalitza. I mean, if Yibam is option number one, so put that first. First say, she pater do Yibam, and then say she pater do Chalitza. Or inami, or alternatively, the Mishnah should have just said, min achalitza l'chudei. Say she's pater from Chalitza. And of course, if she's pater from Chalitza, of course she's pater from Yibam. So answers the Gemara, Abba Sha'ol hi. Our Mishnah is going like the opinion of Abba Sha'ol to Omar, who says, mitzvos chalitza kodemes lemitzvos yibam. It's a Gemara later on in Daf Lamed Tesamud Beis, which says that even though we think in the Torah, and this is true on a Doraisa level, that option number one is yibam, and then option number two in a case of suffolk is chalitza, Abba Sha'ol says the mitzvah of chalitza actually comes first. When we say comes first, meaning it is the option that we go to, it's the primary option. And Rashi says, what's the logic? Because one who marries has relations with a yavam, in that yavam relationship, if it's l'shem noi, because he finds her attractive, or l'shem ishus, because he really wants to marry her, he loves her, that's ki'ilu pogeya be'erva. That's not the proper intention, and that would revert back to the isra of eshesach, the karov be'ena li'os havlad mamzer. And if that relationship takes place, it could be the child's a mamzer.
Meaning, when it comes to Yibum, the intention has to be not because I love my sister-in-law, not because she's beautiful, because I have a mitzvah of Yibum. If the Yavam has any other intentions about her beauty, about how he just wants to be with her, that could ruin the entire concept. As Abba Shaul says, we always have to just go with Chalitza first. In fact, in the Shulchan Aruch, so first of all, the Rambam actually pastens against this and holds that Yibum comes first, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer and Simon Kuf Samechei quotes one opinion, which is Abba Shaul, saying Chalitza comes first, then quotes the Rambam's opinion, which is that Yibum comes first, but the Ramah, Ashkenazim, he quotes that we don't follow the Chachamim, we do follow Abba Shaul, that we don't allow Yibum. We do Chalitza. You're not going to find the case of Yibum nowadays. You'll find the Chalitza once in a while. Why? Because how are we really to assess if a man's intentions are of wanting to be with his sister-in-law after his brother passes away are really l'shem shemayim? There's not mixed in any intention of that she's beautiful, that he wants to be with her. And therefore, we really paskin like Abba Shaul that nowadays we would really only do Chalitza unless we can be 100% positive that the man, the Yavim's intentions were l'shem shemayim. And that's why the Mishnah taught min Chalitza v'Yibum in that order to teach me that actually, according to the way we paskin, according to Abba Shaul, Chalitza comes before Yibum. Even though that's not how the Torah had listed it, but that is actually how we practically do it, because it's impossible to determine the positive, the pure intentions of a man involved in that process. So the Gemara asks another question here. Minyana de Reisha Lemutei Mai, Minyana de Seifa Lemutei Mai. So the Mishnah had said there were 15 women that can't do Yibum with their rayos. So when we say 15, that clearly excludes others. So what is that number 15 excluding? Who didn't make the list. And then similarly in the Seifa, where Rashi points out, we said, Hare Elu Potros. We essentially reiterated how these 15 women are Pater. So again, we emphasized 15, that number. So each of these two, the Resha and the Seifa, what are they coming to exclude that's not meant to be in the Mishnah? Turning over again one of these. So Lemu'ute Dirav Vidiravasi. It comes to exclude the women in the opinion of Rav and Ravasi. Rav holds that a tsaras sota is asura. So meaning, let's say you have a man married to a woman, the woman commits adultery, she's proven to be a sota, and that man's married to another wife. So just like the sota herself, in a case where her husband dies and she falls to a yibam, that's not going to happen. They're both pater because a sota can't fall to anyone. Right? No one's allowed to be with a sota. So too, a sota's co-wife is also going to be pater from Yibam always. So Rav's opinion is that such a sota and a tsara sota, the co-wife of a sota, is always going to be usher from doing Yibam and Chalitza. But yet, our Mishnah didn't list it because our Mishnah argues on that. Our Mishnah holds that a tsara sota would possibly be able to do Yibam. And then Rav Asi holds that a tsara's islandess is asuris. You have a woman who we mentioned in Daf Beis, a little bit tangentially, a woman who hasn't shown signs of puberty, she's older, she doesn't have female characteristics physically, she can't really have children. So if a man's married to such a woman, to such an islandess, and has a co-wife, and now that man dies, if the islandess and her co-wife fall to the Yavam, so just like the islandess herself, she's not going to be able to do Yibum with, or Chalitza with anyone, so to her co-wife is going to be Pater. But apparently our Mishnah, the fact that it doesn't include on the list, also argues with Rav Asi and says that such a woman, the co-wife, would be Chayav as well. Says the Gemara, L'Rav u'Rav Asi mutimai. But Rav and Rav Asi, who hold that Sarasota and Saras islandess are Pater, so then according to them, What is our Mishnah excluding? Because according to them, Sarasot and Saras Islandess are Pater. So what in the Mishnah is saying that something else is not Pater? What else is not Pater? Says the Gemara, well, Isfirulu Dahadadi, if Rav and Rav Asi agree to each other, meaning the one who says Sarasota also agrees that Saras Islandess is Pater, and the one who says Saras Islandess also agrees that Sarasota is Pater, then they both need to find two cases of Pater, because we have an exclusion in the Resha and an exclusion in the Seifa. So they'll say, Chad l'mu'utei tsaras mema'enes, v'chad l'mu'utei tsaras machzer grusha. So one would be coming to exclude the co-wife of a katana, that does mian. We mentioned in Daf Beis that a girl, when she's a katana, can still protest and essentially nullify the marriage. So if a man is married to a katana who does mian, and there's a co-wife, and then that man dies, and they both fall to another man, to this man's brother, so just like the one who did mian, so it's really no iser derabana to do mian, for her to do yibam, so she still does chalitza, but the chiddush would be that her co-wife also is not chayiv in yibam, and maser rushoso, essentially we have an iser, that if a person divorces his wife, and then she goes and marries someone else, and then they get divorced, so he's not allowed to remarry her. So the chiddush is that, but if that type of relationship, if he died, and then this wife that he remarried, that he wasn't permitted to remarry, if she then falls to his brother, so she's not allowed to do yibam, she might be able to do chalitza, so to her co-wife, cannot do yibam. And that's what Rav and Ravasi would say, the Mishnah is excluding, because in those cases, the Mishnah would hold that the co-wives are chayev. V'is lo sfirlu da dadi, but if Rav and Ravasi disagree with each other, meaning Rav who says Sarasota is pater, he might say Tsaras Islandis is chayev. And Ravasi who says Tsaras Islandis is chayev might say Sarasota is pater. So then they each only need to find one additional miut, because Chad v'lemute d'chavre, either the Resha or the Seifa can be excluding their friend's Drasha. So Rav would say, who says Sarasota, would say, oh, well, one of them is excluding Tsaras Islandis. And Ravasi would say, one of them is excluding Sarasota. And the Chad, the other one, either the Resha or the Seifa, Lemute, Otsaras Mama'enes, Otsaras Master Grushaso, would be excluding one of the other women that we just mentioned, that the Mishnah would argue and say that those co-wives are actually Chayiv to do Yibam. Says the Gemara, L'Rav L'Ravasi, listening who? I don't get it. If Rav and Ravasi really believe in their opinions, that Etsaras Sota and Etsaras Mama'enes are putter from Yibum and Chalitza, then according to them, why didn't the Mishnah list it? It listed 15 women that had that same halacha. If they're so confident that they're correct, why did the Mishnah not list it? So they would answer you, Levisha Eina Bitsaras Tsara, because the Mishnah was only listing cases that not only have an Isser of the Arayas themselves and the co-wife, but would have an opportunity for there to be a co-wife's co-wife. So the example in the Mishnah, you had Reuven married to Rachel and Leah. Reuven dies, and now the Mishnah is saying they can't go and do Yibam HaChalitza with Shimon. But let's say the co-wife goes and marries Levi, a third brother, and Levi has a co-wife. So now you have the co-wife's co-wife. So we said that if Levi dies, both of them cannot fall to Shimon, because not only is the tzara of an arayos aser, but even the tzara's tzara, a co-wife of a co-wife. The problem is, when it comes to sota and an islandess, there's never going to be a possibility of a tzara's tzara. Because in the case of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi all being brothers, so in a normal situation, when you have the arayos in the Mishnah, so these women couldn't get married to Shimon, but the tzara of Reuven could still marry Levi. Whereas, if this woman's a sota, if this woman's an islandess, so they can't marry anyone. The tzara is not going to be able to marry any of the brothers. And therefore, you're never going to have a situation of tzara tzara. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah didn't list it. Even though the Mishnah might agree to the halacha that tzara's pater, the Mishnah was only listing cases that have a tzara tzara possibility, a co-wife of a co-wife. With the case of Tsaras Sota and Tsaras Islandis, there's no such possibility. So now the Gemara asks, Menahami Mili, how does the Mishnah know that these arayos, the erva itself, is usher to Shimon, let's say, and so to the co-wife? The Tana Rabbanan, we have a braisa. Isha elachusa lo sikach litzror. A person should not take his wife's sister as a fellow wife, meaning he's married to his wife. He can't go marry his wife's sister, his sister-in-law, legalos erva sa'aleh bechayeha, to reveal her nakedness or her erva during his wife's lifetime. Meaning there might be permission for a man to marry his wife's sister after his wife dies, but during her lifetime, that would be usur. So the Gemara wants to know over here,
Aleha ma tamid lomar. The word aleha in the pasuk legalos erbasa aleha bechayeha. The word aleha seems a little bit redundant or extraneous. So ma tamid lomar. What does it teach us? Lefishin emar yiva ma yavo aleha. The pasuk which describes the mitzvah of Yivam says the Yavam will have relations with the Yavama, and it says aleha on her. So shomea ani afilu ba'achas mikol arayos amuras b'torah. All the pasuk says is that if a woman falls to him, he does Yivam with her. Implication being, if we didn't know anything else, that no matter what woman falls to him, he should do Yivam with her. So afilu ba'achas mikol arayos amuras b'torah kotsa medaber. But then nemar kan aleha. But it says the word aleha with respect to the mitzvah of Yibam, but it also says the word aleha with respect to the iser of a person marrying his wife's sister. Ma lahalan mako mitzvah. Just like when it comes to Yibam, we're talking about a case where there's a mitzvah of Yibam. Afkan bimako mitzvah. So too, we have to read into the context of that pasuk about the iser of a person being able to marry his sister-in-law, his wife's sister. That pasuk's talking about Yibam. A case where a person's wife's sister fell to him in Yibam. And nevertheless, v'yam rachmana lo sikach. So the chiddush of that pasuk would be that even though it's in the context of a mitzvah, aleha, aleha, it's a binyanav, nevertheless, the pasuk's telling me, lo sikach, if a person's sister-in-law, if a person's wife's sister falls to him in Yibam, the pasuk's telling me, lo sikach, do not take her, do not do the Yibam. So that's the source of the iser of when the arayos falling to you. The ikar source is, like we mentioned previously, and that is achos isha, a person's sister-in-law, his wife's sister. However, says the Gemara, ve'in li ella hi, that only explains the sister-in-law herself. Sarasa minayin, how do I know her co-wife is also pater from Yibam Mechalitza? Talmalomar litzror, because it uses the lashon of fellow wife, of co-wife. The implication being that even the co-wife is going to have the iser of lo sikach. But that only explains her direct co-wife. How do we know that if she goes and marries Levi and then has another co-wife, and the co-wife's co-wife, how do we know that she's usher also? Talmalomar, litzror, below latzur. Latzur could have meant co-wife. The fact that it said litzror implies tsaros harbe, many co-wives. However, remember, our Mishnah listed 15 different arayos. Only one of them was achos isha, was a person's wife's sister. So just because the pasuk is referring to achos isha, how do we then extend that to the other 14 arayos? So, shara arayos minayin, how do I know? So the Gemara makes a comparison. Amart, ma achos isha miyuchedes, just like a person's sister-in-law, his wife's sister is unique. She erva, she's in arayos to him. V'chayav in azona kares, and if a person slept with her intentionally, they'd be punishable by kares. V'al shigigasa chatas, and if it was unintentional, it would be with a carbon chatas. V'asru liyabim, and the pasuk tells me, even though it's makom mitzvah, I can't do yibam with her. So any arayos which fits that same category will have the same halacha. Af kol, any arayos, shehi erva, with the woman's in arayos to him, the chayav in azdona kares, and if a person would sleep with him intentionally, that would be kares. While shigigasa chatas, unintentionally become chatas, asru liyabim. So too, all those other 14 cases we derive from achos isha that they are also forbidden to do yibam. However, ve'in li alahim, that only explains the other 14 arayos themselves. Sarosehim minayin. How do we know that the other 14 co-wives are also usher to do yibam? So Amart, we again make the same comparison. Ma achos isha miyuchedes, sister-in-law is unique, she erva, she's an erva. V'chayav ben azdona kares, intentional will be kares punishment. V'al shigasa chatas, unintentional will be a karban chatas punishment. V'yasru liyabim, and by achos isha, it's asur yibam. V'tzarasa asura. And we know from the word litzror, that by achos isha, the co-wife is also asur. So similarly, afkol, any arayos, she erva, which is an erva, v'chayav ben azdona kares, punishment for intentional violation is kares. V'al shigigasa chatas, unintentional violation, the punishment is karban chatas. V'yasru liyabim, and there's isra of yibam, which we already derived from the binyanav. Sarasa asura. So too, the co-wives are asur. So essentially, we're deriving the erva and the co-wives and the tzara all from the paradigm case of achos isha, of sister-in-law, where it says, lo sikach litzror ligos. Erva, ervasa aleha,
Bechayaha. Says the Gemara, Mikan Amru, from here we derive, Chachamim, they derive, Chamish Esrei Nashim, Potros Tzaroseim, Betzaros Tzaroseim, Menachdezim, Menayibum, Atzof Kol Olam. That's what our Mishnah source is. It's all derived from Achos Isha, from a person's sister-in-law. So Yachol Shani Marbe, Af Shisharayos Chamuros Me'elu, Sheut Tzaroseim Asuros. So you would have thought that we should even include the six of the most strict arayos, that their tsaras, their co-wives, should also be usher. What are the six most strict arayos? A person's mother, a person's father's wife, so his stepmother, a person's father's sister, so his aunt from his father's side, a person's half-sister on his father's side, a person's uncle's wife, father's brother's wife, so his uncle's wife on his father's side, and his sister-in-law, his wife of his half-brother, on his father's side. This will all be listed in the Mishnah later on, Dr. Gimel Med Aleph. So you would have thought, since these six arayos are the closest relationships, they're the strictest arayos, you would have thought that their co-wives should also be forbidden to those who may not marry them, even though they should have marriage with someone that wasn't shaykh to Yibum. I mean, this is Shalom Makom Mitzvah. You would have thought anyone married to one of these arayos, the co-wife is never permitted to be with the man that's the arayos to one of these six women. However, Amar, therefore we make the following comparison. Ma achus ishto is miyuchedes, she erva, it's unique and that's the erva, the chayadan azon akare, esvashigas achatas, the efshar li nasi la'achim. In the case of these 15 women, in the case of, let's say, there's three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So the arayos is always where one of Reuven's wives is an arayos to Shimon. So that's fine. And therefore, she's not going to be able to do Yibum on Shimon. But she's still permitted to marry Levi, to go and do Yibum with Levi, do a third brother. So in the case of Achos Isha, just because Reuven's, one of his wives, is a sister-in-law of Shimon, but in the case of Achos Isha, she's going to be able to be permitted to marry other brothers. Yasur liyabim v'tzaras asura. And we know in the case of Achos Isha, the sister-in-law is not doing Yibum with Shimon, neither is her co-wife. Therefore, af kol shehi erva v'chiyavra azdona kares v'al shigas achatas v'efshar linase la'achim v'asur liyabim v'tzaras asura. The key is efshar linase la'achim. The only time we parallel things to the Isra of Achos Isha is when the type of arayas we're discussing can marry another brother. Yatsu, shish arayos chamurus me'ilu, but these six arayos are unique in that whole de'iyah shal nasi la'achim. Because this is someone's mother. So, if it's his mother, obviously the mother's not going to be able to marry any of his brothers. If it's his father's wife's, fathers go through the six arayos, they're not going to be able to marry any of the brothers. And therefore, tsarosehen mutaros. And therefore, the co-wife is going to be mutter. Why? She'in tzara ela me'ach. Rashi explains over here, she'in tzara ela me'ach, holu patra kosov mizikoso. Since when it comes to the Isser of Yibum, and we say by the arayos, there's a zika. Zika means an attachment, an obligation. And the Torah said, no, there's no obligation for Achos Isha. So what does that put you back to? What is the status quo? Harehi alav b'isser ishasach shishlo bonim shibakares. If the sister-in-law would go ahead and be with Shimon, her brother-in-law, that will be nisr kares. But aval ba'alma, when there's no mitzvah of yibum, so okay, fine. Maybe this arayos can be with this whoever the man is. However, lo ramya isr ishasach aleha. And therefore, in a regular case of these six arayos, the co-wife of one of the six arayos will be permitted to be with the arayos of the fellow co-wife. Okay, so one more line. We'll do one more line over here. Azhara shamanu. So we've seen the warning in the Torah for the iser of an erva and a tsaras erva to be with a yavam. That's from the pasuk by Achos Isha. Of Yisha Achos Solos Yikach Letzor Legalos Erbasala B'chayyaha. But we know, in order to be chayav a punishment in the Torah, there not only has to be an azhara, a warning, but there also has to be an onesh, another pasuk which tells me the punishment. So onesh minayin. That pasuk that we quoted didn't say what the punishment was. It just said lo sikach. So where do I have the onesh? So the Gemara says, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, kikol asher yaaseh mikra toivosa ila. The full pasuk says that if anyone does any of these toivos, v'nichrasu anafashos ha'osos mikarev amam, they'll be kares. So that tells me that if one would actually have a sister-in-law that would sleep with her brother-in-law, even though there's no chiv of yibum, that would be be'isr kares. So that's the pasuk that tells us that not only is there a warning to it, there's also an isr kares associated with it. So we'll stop here, and next week, the entire Daf Dalet, we'll be discussing the very interesting and shas-wide topic of Aseh Docheh, Lo Saseh.